this morning that we can give ourselves to God. Amen. I want to appreciate Brother Chris this morning stepping in last week. I had to go to one of the churches on the district and do a pastoral installment. And that's part of my portfolio, if you will, as a district overseer. Sometimes I have to do that. Thank you, Brother Chris, for doing that. And you learned about Paul and Agrippa last week. Amen. I was also asked today, and I didn't have it written down, imagine that, to pray for Brenda. Brenda's not doing as well as she would like to be doing. So continue to pray for Brenda this morning as well. Well, I want you to turn with me as they get me adjusted a little bit to the book of Psalm. I don't do a lot of Psalms on Sunday morning, but this particular Psalm is a Psalm that I believe God would have me to mention here today. I want to read this Psalm and then I want to walk into the message with you this morning and just simply share with you what I believe God wanted me to share with you this morning. Psalm 67, verse number 1. Before I read this, I want to ask you a question. And this is a title, if I was looking for a title today. And I want you to think long and hard about this for a minute. And here's the question that's posed before you this morning. What's in your song? What's in your song? When we look at this psalm, particular psalm, the Psalms is a collection of songs that were sung by Israel in their worship services on many different occasions. And at this particular one, he starts out in verse number 1 and he says these words, God, be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. And y'all know that word Selah just actually means to pause and think about it. I don't know if that was one of those verses or a chorus or a moment in that psalm that all the people just kindly took a breath and thought about what they were actually saying and what they were actually singing. Sometimes we forget our song, don't we? Sometimes we forget how important it is to praise the Lord. How our song may affect other people. And in this particular song, we see this and the psalmist begins to say in verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all the nations. Verse 3, he begins to say it like this. He says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Verse 4, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Chapter 68, as this continued on, it said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Verse 3, and let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Once again, there is a instructional psalm, if you will, as he says in verse number 4, and he says, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you've thought about your song. It's been a long time since I've actually thought about my song. When I begin to sing songs, oft times I find myself in a different attitude of worship. I find myself going into a deeper dimension in my relationship with God. Seems like that when I sing, if you will, it seems like that all of a sudden the burdens of my soul, they begin to lighten off of me. We hear the terminology that the burdens of my soul roll away. This morning I would ask us, what's in our song today? Because we can see that all throughout the scripture there was those that sang songs. Somebody says, well, I'm not a singer. I don't want nobody to hear me sing. As I've heard other preachers say, God loves to hear the songbird, the beautiful little bluebird, Brother Steve, that's got a beautiful song, if you will, or a cardinal, or different types of birds. But also it's been said that God loves to hear the crow squawk too. Because God created it all, and for all it's been created. But as I began to think about this, I thought about all throughout the scripture of how that songs were used as anthems of praise unto God. Even the psalm that we will go back and read later, it was used to magnify and it was used to glorify God. Now let me say this, even though your song is for you, your song is really for God. God loves it when His people sing songs. God loves it because it is a proclamation before the enemy and before heaven of who God truly is. Don't lose your song. Whatever you do in life, don't let the enemy steal your song. Don't let the enemy come in and do the things to you that he would love to do to you. And the enemy would really love to rob you of your joy and your peace and all the things that God has promised throughout the Word that He would give you. I know the Bible says that when the enemy comes in, the comma should be there. But like a standard, God raises up a standard against him. We use the terminology oft times and we sing the song. I'm not going to sing it right now. I don't have the voice to sing it this morning. But I was thinking about it as I was singing this particular song that when I was preparing these notes and things for this message. We sing that song, Brother Jody, that I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Your song is a part of your victory. I can show you that biblically. When you think about the songs and we think about what songs have been sung throughout the scripture, I couldn't help but to go back into the Word of God in the Old Testament and look at a few things before you today when God promised the children of Israel and he promised Israel that I am going to be the God that will deliver you. When you go way over back into the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, there's several things that comes to my mind. We can see in Exodus 13 in verse number 17. And it says this, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near for God. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. In other words, God sent them a different route because God was saying to Moses at that time, as quick as they see war, as quick as they see the enemy in front of them, they will retreat and they will go back into Egypt. Let me say this. I want you to get this in your spirit today. Are you ready? that if you're going to live in victory in 2023, you're going to have to get some spiritual tenacity about you. And you're going to have to understand that your victory, watch this, that your victory is worth fighting for. And sometimes your victory is just as close as a song. Hang with me over the next hours. Just hang with me. We're going to get there together. And we see this when God begins to take them and the Lord began to reveal to them, and he said, but you're going to go through the way of the wilderness. Sometimes God will take you the way of the wilderness to get you through that wilderness, so that when you get out on the other side, it was through that wilderness, watch this, that your song was developed. There was times in my own life that I question God so many times and so often, as Hannah sings the song, as Jason Crabb and those wrote the song and sung the song through the fire. We don't know why we're going through what we're going through when we go through it. But I can tell you there have been so many times in my life when I've got through the other side and I was able to look back at what God brought me through, and I just kept singing my song through the fire, and I kept singing the song through the trial, and I kept singing the song through everything that I was going through. And when we got over on the other side, we knew then the reason that God didn't let us leave our song. Hang on, we're not there yet. Hang on. Woo! And he says here in 21, and he said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and he led them the way by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, there's a lot of preaching in all this. I'm going to skip a lot of it. God told them again that he would harden Pharaoh's heart. And we can see that Pharaoh in the next chapter began to say that the children of Israel was entangled in the wilderness and that they would be destroyed in the wilderness, that he would never have to worry about the children of Israel anymore. But God again, he promised Moses and he told them, he said that I am, the Egyptians will know, this is verse 4 of chapter 14, that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. As you begin to look all the way down through chapter 14, we can see in verse number 9, where again that God calls these Egyptians to pursue the children of Israel. But watch this. Let me say it like I feel it. Pharaoh didn't know their song. Pharaoh did not know that they had already sang those songs before. And here's what I want to say to us here in this house this morning. If God's done it before for you, God will do it again for you. Don't lose your song. Hang on. We're getting there. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and the army overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pith-hath-haroth before the Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Now, what happened? What happened to them? They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus with us? In other words, why have you dealt with us this way and carried us forth out of Egypt? Now, this is a little greenology. They were fearful. Human nature. Human nature. And again, I got to say this the way I feel it. It's because I think sometimes when we feel that way, it is something on the inside of us that God is trying to develop in us. Faith over fear. You see how that God's developing the children of Israel were that they would have the victory over their victim mentality. Now stay with me. We're not going to lose it right here. We see this of how that, again, there was a promise made to Moses, and Moses was their leader. The people said, Moses, what in the world are you doing? Why have you even brought us out here? Have you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? I love verse 13 because there begins to build a little bit of momentum right there back in Moses, and Moses was able to convey to the people. And he says it in verse 13, and Moses said to thy people, fear ye not. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be scared. If God did it before, Brother Beckner, God will do it again. When we see this in the Word, he said, fear ye not, stand still. I see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. I love verse 14 because it says, and the Lord shall fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. God will do this. You won't even have to do anything. You just have to keep your faith in God. You just have to keep standing for God. Even though you're fearful, even though you don't know what God's going to do, he said, just be faithful and trust me. Moses lifted up his rod. He stretched out his rod over the sea, and the children of Israel went through on dry ground. You can read the rest of that in your convenience. So what happened? God delivered them. God brought them through. Question, has God ever done anything for anybody in the room? Can I see your hand? Here's the challenge of the day. Don't lose your song. We open up in chapter number 15 and we see again where that the Bible said, then sang Moses. Well, they were just in a deplorable situation here another chapter back. They were just in a condition that they didn't know how God was going to bring them out. They didn't know what was going to happen. Can I tell you something? God did it. God brought them out. They did not lose their faith. They trusted in God. And God told them, hey, just hold your peace. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. Don't be overtaken by fear. Hold on to God. Don't lose your song. Sometimes all you've got left is a song. After the battle and you've went through everything you've went through. And here we see in the Word of God how that Moses, I love this because, hey, Moses was the pastor. And Moses led the congregation in the song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They sang this song unto God, and they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, and he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider be thrown into the sea. I don't know if it was a 2-4 or a 4-4 or any other rhythm put to music right there. But what they sang a song that glorified God, that triumphed over their enemy, and they acknowledged the God of glory in their song. Don't lose your song today. We begin to see in the latter parts of this chapter again when you work your way all the way down through this. We can see again how that verse number 20 and 21 where Miriam the prophetess, this was the sister of Aaron and Moses. She began to take a timbrel, if you will, and they sang this great song and they began to celebrate God. Can I just put another little plug in right there? Your song is a celebration that somebody is waiting on. Who's waiting on your song? Hello? It's easy for you and I to be discouraged in 2023. But some of you, you've allowed the enemy to come and rob your song. At one time, you were a singer. At one time, you had rivers of living waters flowing out of your belly. But now it's all you can do is mumble a little praise every now and then. All you can do now is regurgitate something that you used to thrive on. What are you talking about, preacher? I mean, the church of God used to be a church that was on fire, and we would glorify God and magnify God and glorify God. And now all we can do is just barely get a little bitty. It's hard. And I'm not all telling you that it's all about the emotion, but I'm going to tell you something. The church of God has always been a singing church. It's always been a rejoicing church. Can I tell you what changed? Some of y'all need to wake up. Can I tell you what changed my life when I was about 8 year old, 9 year old? I lived probably from here to the dumpster, not hardly that far from the Clyde Church of God. You had the church, a field, my granny's house. And it's not hardly that far. It's closer than that. And it was on a day, Brother Hunt, that I was a kid, about 8, 9 year old. And man, I could hear. At that time, they didn't have air. They throwed the windows open. Somebody says, "You're talking old school now." Honey, I am old school. And all of a sudden, I was going right by my papa's old toilet back into his old shed right there. Brother Horace, I heard one of them women down there go, "Woo!" You say, "Preacher, I'm over that. You don't need that no more. That's old school. We don't need that no more. It hurts my ears and it's disruptive and it's out of order. We don't like stuff like that no more in the church." Friend, I don't know who that woman was to this day. But I believe whatever she was going through, she got delivered. And I know that an 8-year-old boy, I stood there, Brother Robert, as an 8, 9-year-old kid, and I thought, "Son, somebody is having a time tonight. Tammy, it never left me." That's been 50 some odd years ago. I'll tell you about 58 years ago. Not that long. 50 years ago. Thank you, Sherry. She has to help me all the time. Mama, if you're listening, sorry. Making my mama old. You say, "Why are you preaching this way this morning, Pastor?" Because I believe that we don't need to lose our song. If we're not real careful, we'll lose our song. In the church, we'll lose the very thing that's brought us to where we're at today. And you say, "Well, preacher, did you find out through the Word of God how that Miriam," the Bible says there, how we see this, and it says, "And Miriam and the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took timbrel in her hand with all the women." They went out with timbrels and dances. And this was their song. "And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you sung your song of victory? Hello? You say, "Well, preacher, I've never been given the pulpit to sing my song." I'm not talking about the pulpit to sing your song. Brother Beckner, I remember as a kid, I remember as a young preacher preaching to steering wheels, driving a Pepsi truck or a 7-Up truck down the road, beating the steering wheel and singing and praising God. I learned to preach sitting in a Toyota Starlet up on the mountain above my house. I learned to preach in a nursing home. I wasn't given a pulpit. I didn't wait on somebody to give me a pulpit. I preached in the soup kitchen. I preached in the nursing home. Little old lady always sat back there at the back of the church, and I can't remember her name now, but every week, "Preacher, you remember, what's the difference between you and John the Baptist?" I said, "We're all the same in God's eyes. We're people of God, children of God." And you know, those things that resonate within me today are still the things that keep me going. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Through life's journey, I could have lost my song over and over and over and over again. And you sitting in here, you've never heard me preach a message like this. I've never preached this. Never. Some of you in this room that I'm talking to today, God, be my witness, you've lost your song. And God sent me by long enough to tell you this morning that you need to recover your song. You need to start lifting up your voice again. You need to put a praise back in your mouth again. You need to recognize who God is again and let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Amen. You say, well, did Jesus ever sing a song? I think Jesus was a singing Savior. Come on, somebody. We have this verifiable scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 30. One verse of scripture. I don't have time to go into it all. This was before that Jesus went to the crucifixion. It was before Jesus was crucified. Think about your anguish today if you were going to be crucified tomorrow. Come on, somebody. What would you be going through today if you knew that you were going to be let out, slapped upon, spit upon, stripped, robbed, everything else, and hung before heaven and earth on an old rugged cross? Well, I don't know why. I'm just going through everything I'm going through. The devil's been on my back. I've had such a hard week. Come on, somebody. Put a praise back in your mouth again. Put something that will glorify God back in your mouth again. You see here in the Word, and when they had sung a hymn, Jesus leading the song, leading the song. And they went out into the Mount of Olives. They began to sing a song for God. Again, you know the story of, and I'm not going to take the time to do all that, but you know the story of Paul and Silas. They were beaten. They were taken of the magistrates and they were put into the inner prisons. They stripped all their clothes off of them. They were beaten. And in the book of Acts, you've read it over and over and over again. I've read it over and over again. Paul could have allowed that situation and Silas, that situation, to stop their song. They could have got into this mindset. And this is something the church has got to really be careful of. If you're not real careful today, we will slide ourselves into the victim mentality. The church will be the victim, and we will look at society today and we will think, oh, the church is going down and the church is going under and there's no help for the church and there's no hope for the church. Can I tell you today that Paul prophesied to young Timothy, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24. But Paul prophesied to Timothy, there's going to be perilous times that men are going to be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And my friend, if there's anything on the docket today, if there's anything on the agenda today, it is time for the church to lift up her voice and glorify and magnify God. This is your greatest hour. Don't go stick your head in the sand and say, woe is me. The church is defeated. The church is in trouble. The church ain't in trouble. People are in trouble. People become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. People become as if their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. But as far as the church is still on fire and the church still loves Jesus. And I've not lost my song. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to let the devil steal my song. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy today. You can see in the book of Acts chapter number 16 and verse 25, only one verse of scripture. We can see this where the Bible says, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of that. You know it as well as I do. Paul and Silas in the inner prison, beaten, stripped, blood pouring from their back. No doubt in my mind in pain, no doubt in my mind in anguish. If you don't think getting a beating will hurt you, I've got a black belt on. How many people want to be my model this morning? Come on, somebody. None of us. And I'm not trying to minimize the things we go through on this earth. I'm not trying to minimize your pain. I'm not trying to minimize your anguish. I'm not trying to do any of those things today. I'm not trying to take away from any physical ailment you may have here today. But I'm trying to just simply convey to you that in the middle of all that we're going through, if the enemy could do something today, he would take our song away from us. And then we can see that Paul and Silas, the Bible said, and at midnight. I like Paul. And Silas, they prayed. They got a hold of God. Oh, God, we're in a mess today. I don't know how we're going to get out of it, but I know that he that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yea, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. If God be for me, then who can be against me? Go back to my last week message. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. And I don't know, and this is just a little bit more greenology today, but Paul, they had prayed. I believe there was a little bit of Holy Ghost jerk in Paul. That's me. He felt something. When he sang the choruses, he began to sing the songs, and I believe he began to feel something in his spirit. All you got to do is start. All you got to do is open your mouth. God said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. That's not a dentist reference, even though I've seen that in dentist offices before. Just open your mouth. The Bible said, and they sang praises. And as they sang praises, this is the only way I can say it, the prisoners heard them. Their praise led other people to their victory. Here's a little greenology. It rubbed off on other people. Your praise is contagious. It's like a communicable disease. You just can't keep it to yourself. So as they sang praises, others heard them. And God responded with a great earthquake. All the prison doors was open. See, their singing led them to their victory. Their singing led them to their breakthrough. Their singing led them out of captivity. And I don't have time to go through all of it, but There's many examples in the scripture where that there was great battles and there was great victories that was won because somebody knew that if they would just continue singing their song, that God would send a great breakthrough. Again, you can see this in the Word of God in 2 Chronicles with Jehoshaphat. He's over in the Old Testament and God was there with them. And again, God spoke to him again in 2 Chronicles in 20 and 17. And he said, hear in the word of the Lord. And it says, as the Spirit of God came upon them, that God moved upon them and God began to deal with them. And he told them in verse number 15 and talked to Jehoshaphat. And he said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great battle or the great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You think, well, what has that got to do with today, preacher? Hey, Jesus already said, hey, victory is yours. Victory's already yours. Victory's already ours this morning. We are more, Paul said, we are more than conquerors. He told him in verse 17, he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then we can see in verse number 18 and going all the way down where that Jehoshaphat bowed himself to the Lord. God said, I'll be with you when you go out against them tomorrow. I'm going to raise up a mighty army of God and I will show my glory. Verse 19, the Levites, the Korahites, the children of the Korahites stood up to praise God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They began to praise God. Watch this. They began to praise God when as of yet the victory had not been won. They praised God in advance of the victory of what God was getting ready to do. Hey, you never know what's going to happen when you begin to praise God out of your innermost being. When you begin to allow something swell up on the inside of you. And all you can do is say, I love you, Jesus. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to praise you through the storm. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hey, hang on. We're not even there yet. And he says this, in the word of the Lord, they begin to praise God. Verse 20, rose up early in the morning, went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Judah means praise. Come on, somebody. Hear me, praise. Hear me, praise. Get it on the inside of you. Hear me, praise. Somebody, you need to tell your praise to come alive. Come on, somebody. Your praise has been dead for a long time. You say, hey, preacher, it's been a long time since I rejoiced. It's been a long time since I praised God. It's been a long time. You say, I'll praise Him when I feel Him. You may not ever feel Him till you praise Him. Come on, somebody. I feel like a Pentecostal preacher today. Great Lord, have mercy. Oh, Judah, hear me, oh, Judah. Let your praise hear you. You inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. That's good, ain't it? And when he had consulted with the people, when he had talked to all the people, gathered all the people together, he says this. He said in the word of God, he appointed singers. Hey, don't you leave on me this morning. I'm trying to hurry, but don't leave. The latter part's better than the first part. This is all introductory. This is what he says. And he consulted the people. He appointed singers. Appointed singers. Choir, when we get it put back together and everything. They went out front. The singers went in front of the people. The singers went in front of the victory. Stay with me. Stay with me. And he said, and he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness, that they should praise God. Beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, all the enemy seen them. What are those crazy nuts doing? What are those crazy Pentecostal people doing on Sunday morning, glorifying, magnifying God? Don't they know that the weather's bad outside? Don't they know that there's a war going on in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Syria and Ukraine and Russia? Don't they know how bad the world is? Don't they know how bad the economy is? And the gas prices, oh my goodness, food prices up 18% plus. Don't those crazy Pentecostal people know that we're in a crisis in the world today? Oh, great is our God. Worthy is our God. We glorify our God. We magnify our God. God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, but preacher, you need to silence it down. We're in the middle of a gender identification crisis. Oh, preacher, don't you know that our young people are going through trials? Hush down, preacher. Don't talk about all that stuff, preacher. Great is our God and glory to His name. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. You say, really? I'm like Mikey. Life cereal. You don't know, do you try it? Let's give it to Mikey. See if Mikey likes it. Mikey eats the life cereal. Some of you older students, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of you students my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then they push the bowl of cereal over to Mikey. And guess what the commercial said? He likes it. He likes it. Some of you need to talk to me about that later and I'll explain it to you. When you begin to praise God, God will come in. God will come in. The only thing I'm telling you today is don't lose your song. If you go and you read the rest of this, he appointed singers. Watch this. They begin to sing their songs. They begin to praise God. Look, they went out before the army. To say, praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. I love this. 22, it says, and then when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. All you got to do is lift up God and glorify God and God will fight your enemy for you. Come on, somebody. All you got to do is get your song back and God will fight your enemy for you. I got to say that again. All you got to do is praise and glorify God. Get your song back and magnify God. And God said He will fight your battles for you. Let me hurry. So we see this. And the children of Israel came against Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which had come against Judah. And they were smitten. Your praise will smite the enemy. You need to get your song back. You say, preacher, I ain't never sang a song. I used to make up a lot of songs. I just open my mouth, Brother Steve, and I just start saying, I love you, Jesus. Glorify your name, Jesus. There'd be a little rhythm that would begin to come, and there'd be a little, I'd hear a little tone, or I'd hear something in my mind, and I'd love you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. I glorify. There's no one like you, Lord. Jesus. That happened while I was driving a truck down the road. I love you, Lord. Driving a dump truck, driving a Pepsi truck, driving a 7-Up truck, driving a truck. I didn't care. I would glorify God. You say, what are you doing that for, preacher? Some of you need to get your song back. I'm almost done. I got 2 pages. I'm going to skip some. You know where this message came from? Somebody said, I sure enough would like to know where it come from. Again, I was planning on preaching something else today. But I was sitting yesterday in a youth event in this building. And I found that right there. That's it right there. This is the book. That's the book. I found that book. I'm going to preach a little old school to you here right now. This ain't about the redback. Because Charity Gale can sing just as good as anything that's ever put in the redback. Carrie Job can sing just as good a songs as anything that was ever put in the redback. But you know what I thought about when I seen that book yesterday? I thought, Brother Don, that old book's got a story. That old book right there's got a story. That book right there's been around a long time. That old book could have been thrown away, discarded, to say, I'm no good anymore. I'm old. Some of you in this room, you would probably classify yourself as old. I don't know how old is. You figure it out, not me. But this old book's got a story. I thought about this book and I looked at it and I thought, you know what? This whole book, you look at it and it's like, my goodness, that book's been abused. Some of you in this room have been abused. Some of you in this room have been taken advantage of. Some of you in this room have got scars. Some of you in this room have got, let me say it like this, you've got withered edges and torn pages. Hello? I told you the latter part would be good too. When you begin to think about this old book, I began to think about how maybe through its life it was neglected. I looked around and I thought, man, there's some brand new hymn books around here. They look like they're brand new, different ones. I thought, man, they don't have the story that this book has. This book right here has got some stories to it. So I'm going to ask you something. Do you have any stories bottled up on the inside of you? Some of you do. Some of you have things that you'll never talk to nobody about. And that's okay. Not asking you to. But I'm thinking to myself, what if this book could talk? What would this book say? I mean, look at the condition of it. Now here's the punchline. Are you ready? Even though this book is tattered, even though this book is old, even though this book is worn out, even though this book has been around a long, long time, hey, matter of fact, I'll tell you this one. This old book right here has been relocated. I'll go ahead and say it like I feel it. You might not even like it here. You might not even like me. But this is where God's put you. This whole book at one time used to live at 207 Moon Street in Thomasville, North Carolina. This whole book's been around a long time. But can I tell you something about this old book right here? Are y'all ready for it? We've been around the church for many, many years. And Brother Jonathan, we could all lose our song if we wanted to. We could be narcissistic and blame the world. We could blame our ex. We could blame this. We could blame that. We could blame the government. We could blame the president. We can blame the preacher. You can blame the dog catcher for the reason you lost your song. Do you know what God showed me yesterday? I wasn't planning on preaching this. I didn't even know it till I picked up this book, and immediately God spoke to me. As old and as tattered and as worn as this old songbook is, this old songbook has never lost its song. Woo! You can turn to page 212, and this old songbook still says, keep on the firing line. I'm just going to read them to you real quick. You can turn through the pages of this old book, hallelujah, and this old book on page 372 says, onward, Christian soldier. I'm worn and I'm tattered, but I still got my song. You can take this old tattered book and you can turn to 120, Joan, and you can sing Victory in Jesus. And you can look all the way through this old book and you can sing as they sang this morning, 368, nothing but the blood. You can turn to 181 and you can sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And you can turn to 57 and you can sing Amazing Grace. And you can turn all the way through this old book. 289, Wonderful Power in the Blood. You can turn to 226. It is truly wonderful. I don't even know that one. 196, Will You Meet Me Over Yonder? 180, Everybody Will Be Happy Over There. This old book is tattered and this old book is worn. But this old book keeps singing its song. What is your song today? What is your song? Hannah, we'll put you on the spot. Come on. Should have told you earlier, but it's okay. I'm going to put Kathy on her spot. Put you on your spot. You got it in your system up there. My voice is very crackly right now. Had a cold for a couple of days, allergies. But how many of you know that story? I mean, that song. Amy, come on. You're singing now. Come on. Adam, I'm going to put you on the spot. Come on. Come on, old boy. Get your microphone, Adam. Come on. You say, I ain't never seen nothing so crazy in all my life. Hang on, honey. You'll be all right. I promise you'll be okay. I promise you will be. Because you know what? We're not going to do this. They're not going to do this by themselves. Grab that now the floor right here. Grab that now the floor right there. Y'all, come on. Y'all's thinking, I don't even know what he's going to do. How great thou art. Three verses. We don't have to do all three. But maybe you've lost your song today. I don't know who's going to do what. But this is how God told me to do it today. Stand up with me, if you will. I'm not a control freak. I just want you to get into the spirit of what we're doing here today. Hallelujah. Why don't you in this room recover your song today? Say, preacher, I've been through stuff.
Woo!
I've been through the valley of the shadow of death.
Woo!
I've been through a few things, preacher. But I just keep singing my song. Oh, Lord, my God.
When I in awesome
come on,
wonder,
let's sing it together, everybody.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars.
Oh, yes.
I hear the rolling thunder.
How great thou art.
Shared what you dropped into my spirit. All the way throughout the scripture, they would sing their song of victory. It would be their anthem of praise. It would be their anthem of deliverance. It would be their anthem of breakthrough. It would be their answer as they sojourned along the journey, that God is for us and God is not against us. So Father, today we recapture our song today. Oh God, the enemy's tried to take our song. Oh, today, God, put a new song in our mouth. Put a praise upon our lips.
Oh God, let our song, oh God, return to us today, God, as a church of God. Lord, it's not old school or new school or no school. It's just that we would sing praises and sing songs unto God today, that all the songs that are sung that would glorify God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, out of the abundance of our hearts, out of the abundance of our hearts. Right now, all around this room, I want you, just as you're standing there by yourself, nobody else around you, nobody else even paying attention to anybody else around you, let's just sing this chorus a few more times today. And as we sing that chorus today, I believe as you in your place, by that I mean where you're at, you might be struggling, you might be going through a storm, you might not have felt God for months or years, or whatever your situation, you might have come here broke, busted, or disgusted. You may have come here today discouraged. You may have come here today with your eyes on people. But I pray today that God would break that, that you would get your song back. And as we sing this song again, I'm praying that God will give everybody in this room a brand new revelation of Him, that you would get your song back, that God would restore you, that God would touch you, that God would help you.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
If you need prayer today, you're welcome to come. You don't have to come by yourself. You can come. I'll come with you. But aren't you glad for victory today?
It saves my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. It saves my soul,
ovation of praise in the room. Hallelujah. Thank you all very much. We can do it in Jesus' name. I don't know who that song was for. I don't know who that message was for, rather. But I pray it was for somebody in the room today. You've lost your song. And God just sent me by long enough to remind you today to recapture, recover your song. And it may not sound like it used to sound. It may not be like it used to be. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God bless you. Hope you have a good afternoon. We'll be back here at 6 o'clock this evening, and we'll be continuing on in His name. Amen. God bless you.